I want to talk today about the gift of the Father. And the gift of the Father, meaning the gift from the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. Seems like often overlooked. When we think about our walk of faith, it is completely dependent on the Holy Spirit being in us. We have no spiritual life without the Holy Spirit in us. And so this is critical, and I think I want to help us to be more aware of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we just think about some of the things the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The three in one, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And references to the Old Testament, whenever referring to Scripture, it would say things like, David by the Holy Ghost said. And Isaiah, as the Holy Ghost said through Isaiah. So it's attributing the writing of the Old Testament and all of the Scriptures to the Holy Spirit. Peter said that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here we have God's way of dealing with men on earth through His Holy Spirit. He speaks to them through His Holy Spirit. And you'll see that He's working in the believers in the church through His Holy Spirit. And I believe this is why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is such a serious thing. Because this is the way God deals with people on earth. And if you reject that Holy Spirit, He doesn't have anything else for you. Anyway, first let's start out with Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist is saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What is that talking about? The baptism with fire is referred to in verse 12, where he says he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That is the enemies of God. God is going to, Jesus Christ is going to destroy his enemies with fire. But baptized with the Holy Ghost is about gathering his wheat into the garner. He is going to put his Holy Spirit into mankind. And this is what Jesus is going to do. He's going to be known for this, baptizing in the Holy Ghost. And Paul said to Titus, Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there's a two-part process here. The washing of regeneration is taking away our sins. But then we need to be renewed by the Holy Ghost. It's like Ezekiel talked about that valley where he saw the dry bones. He said they were very dry. And the Lord told him to prophesy to the bones. And he prophesied and the bones began to come together. And they stood up an exceeding great army. But there was no life in them, and he prophesied to the wind. And then the breath of life came into them. So he had this two-part thing. First, he brings the bones together and puts flesh upon them. And then he breathes the breath of life into them. So we also, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is not an option, you know, a luxurious option for the believers. It's necessary. We have to have life from God. And that comes by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Well, think about the first creation. When God made man, he formed him out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. First he formed him, gave him a body, and then he breathed into him the breath of life. Well, in the new creature, this is what he's doing too. He's making us new. He's making us a new creature. And then he's putting his Spirit into us and animating us and giving us the life, that spiritual life, which died when Adam sinned. Well, it makes sense because no one puts a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. So God couldn't just put his Holy Spirit in unregenerate man. It would destroy man and he'd perish. So God in salvation makes us a new vessel, a new bottle, so that the Holy Spirit can come and be in us. It has to be a holy vessel. So he makes us holy and takes away our sin and then pours his Holy Spirit out upon us. It's a glorious thing. So this is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And this is God's desire. So his purpose from the beginning was to put his Spirit in people. And he put his Spirit on people on different occasions. And one time, Eldad and Medad were prophesying in the camp, and Joshua said, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said, do you envy for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. So this is what's really needed, to have God's Spirit in us. Instead of this contrary fleshly spirit that resists God, is stubborn and stiff-necked and rebellious. Instead of that spirit, have the Spirit of God within us so that we love what God loves. We hate what God hates. We want his will. We're in perfect communion with him. So let's notice some things the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. The Father was the one who sent the Holy Spirit. This is John 7, verse 38. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. It's going to be inside of you, generating this life-giving water, flowing out. And now you're actually going to be able to prophesy and preach the gospel, and other people are going to be able to drink of that water and get life from that. And it's going to come out of you. So God's going to use earthen vessels, and out of our belly can flow rivers of living water. So just like Jesus offered that woman at the well living water, we can offer by introducing people to Jesus, we can offer living water to them too. But he said the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's what we were talking about earlier. Jesus was not yet glorified. So then, this had to happen. While Jesus was on the earth, he protected the disciples. He was with them. And then John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So what Jesus is really saying here is that he is going back to the Father, and the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and he and the Father are going to come and dwell in us through the Holy Spirit being in us. It's his way of dwelling in us by his Spirit. And John 14 still, verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And he did that. The Comforter did come, and did bring to the apostles' remembrance all the things that Jesus said, so much so that they could write, you know, chapter after chapter of quoting what Jesus said years after it happened, because the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance. And many of these things in John 14, 15, 16, they're Jesus speaking to his disciples, and as the apostles, they were establishing the church. You know, in Revelation, the picture of Zion, of the New Jerusalem, has the 12, gates, is it? The apostles of the Lamb, or the corner? 12 gates. Say it.
The foundations,
thanks. Were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So if the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So God spoke through the apostles. That's why the early church broke bread and gave themselves to breaking of bread, to fellowship, to prayers, and to the apostles' doctrine. I got that in the wrong order, but they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. And that's what we have today. We have the apostles' doctrine. That was brought to us and all brought through the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Then John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So now he said, I will send him, but he's proceeding from the Father. So he's coming to dwell in us, and this the Holy Spirit in us is going to enable us to be witnesses. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So the Holy Spirit now has God's word and is in us and now can speak through us. This is what we pray every time we come up here or gather with the brethren, share. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will speak through us. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. A little more insight on what the Holy Spirit's work is. And then verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So these three working together, all that the Father hath belong to Jesus. Jesus is giving it to the Holy Spirit, who's showing it to us. Oh, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them. Mm-hmm. But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit is in this process of revealing the things of Christ to us, showing us these things. When you read the Bible and you see Christ in there, you see something about him, that's the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. That's an evidence for us that we have the Holy Spirit. So it's a glorious thing. And then after Jesus' resurrection, he did ascend to the Father. In Acts 1, verse 4, well, before he ascended to the Father, he said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So don't go anywhere, don't do anything, until you receive the promise of the Father, and that is the Holy Spirit. And then he says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the power comes from the Holy Spirit. Don't leave home without it. You need the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching and telling them what happened to these men that they were speaking in other tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is the culmination of God's purpose. pouring his Spirit upon not just a prophet here or a prophet there, but on everyone, all flesh, even handmaids, handmaidens. Everyone gets the Holy Spirit who believes in Jesus. And this is God's purpose, to put his Spirit in his people. Praise God for this. And then in verse 32, Peter goes on, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this," which you now see and hear. Exactly as he said, he was going to go to the Father and then send the Holy Spirit. "For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The promise, it's about receiving the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, and the promise of the Father is yours. You shall receive it. Well, this was our whole problem right from the beginning. Just as reluctance to serve God, but he's going to put his Spirit in us. A spirit that wants to serve God. A willingness. Servants willing in the day of his power. And this, of course, is what the fathers wanted all along. If your son asked any of you for bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Or if he asked an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so this is what you're doing. By repenting and being baptized, you're asking him for a good gift. And he's going to give you the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit empowers us. And I believe that Jesus lived as a man, fully as a man, a normal man without special powers. But the miracles that he did were by the Holy Spirit. And it says this in when they were saying that he was casting out devils by Beelzebub. He said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils. It was by the Spirit of God he cast out the devils. And so he lived as a man. In Acts 10, 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I guess the importance of that is that Jesus lived a life just like we do. Mm-hmm. He didn't have like special things, but he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And that's how he did the miracles. The Spirit spoke through believers. The Spirit sent some out. Some he forbid them to go into Asia at a certain time. So he was directing the church. He's directing people. He said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas. It said, Specifically, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work. And we pray in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit has a very active work in our lives, part of God's purpose, and what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. He speaks through us. Jesus said, when you're brought before rulers and governors, don't worry beforehand about what to say, because it will be given you in that same hour. He said, for it will not be you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is going to be using your mouth and your mind and your thoughts and using God's words. Well, these are glorious things. I have much more to mention. Maybe we'll save for the next time. We'll go into more, some of the works that he does in the believer now. But I wanted to give that introduction and encourage you to be thinking this week about the Holy Spirit in you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So please share any of your thoughts or comments.
That last point you were making about how he's full of man, that it was by the Spirit. That's good to see, and it shows us more about how he was fully man. And he did not take up these, you know, the powers that he had. He lived as a man. And it's good to see these things you pointed out of how the Spirit was working.
And so the apostles also did these miracles by the Holy Spirit.
And if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. It's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the
Amen.
Flesh.
Amen.
It's not that we're all of a sudden so strong that we can overcome sin and we can do all these things. It's because the Holy Spirit is living in us. It's, I think, the Holy Spirit is the root and fatness of the olive tree. I don't know that I can prove that, but I'm flowing forth from the vine into the branches. It's His life flowing into us and giving us these abilities that we didn't have in ourselves, like overcoming sin and turning our heart toward God and doing sometimes miraculous signs, but sometimes just being faithful day by day. We do it through the Spirit. We want to remember to thank Him for that.
Amen.
We don't want to, you know, when Samson's hair got cut off, he didn't know that the Spirit had left him. He wasn't conscious of the Spirit working in him, and then all of a sudden he tries to shake himself and get free as before, and oh, he couldn't do it. We don't want to be like that. We want to be conscious of the Holy Spirit working in us and giving us power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we can bank on that. We know that we can overcome because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Mm-hmm. He's going to quicken our mortal bodies through His Spirit, which is in us.
Amen.
Let's bring all the glory to God. Because the things that we can do with the Spirit, we can't do naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And people around us, this is a witness that God is working through us. So it's not by our power, our might, or our money, or whatever it is. It's only by the power of God that He has given us the Spirit. And it's only through the Spirit that we're able to do these things.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The Spirit of God is a person.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the King James uses the impersonal pronoun it. But he can be grieved. They can be vexed. It said that the children of Israel vexed His Holy Spirit. And He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So, and I like that picture of the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and the Holy Spirit flows from Jesus to us.
us a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. It's not a finite amount.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving us the Spirit. He's gives His grace to help in time of need. It's not going to run out.
Amen. One other thing I forgot to mention is Ananias and Sapphira. Peter said, "Why has Satan tempted you, or filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" He said, "You've not lied to men, but to God." So the Holy Ghost is clearly declared to be God. Okay, let's stand together. Thank you for your comments. And I hope to get into more about the working of the Holy Spirit in us.